Transportation and Finance and Policy Committee to order for March 28th. Today before us, we have a bill, it is a supplemental finance bill that Department MINDOT wanted us to take up. As most of you have seen in the bonding bills on both the House and the Senate side, there are a number of provisions in the bonding bill that were funded, but were listed, and what this bill is those provisions were in the bills. They are under our jurisdiction. We just pick those up and we want to move those out in this bill. I think what we will do is have Tracy Hatch from MINDOT come and explain the bill for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I believe that this is probably a refresher for almost all of you. We discussed this once before. I'm not sure if you have handouts.
Would you identify yourself correctly?
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tracy Hatch. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for MINDOT. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you'll see the first request under the appropriations for the Trent Highway Fund is the Wilmer District Headquarters. This is a project that would essentially expand the maintenance facility at the district headquarters in Wilmer. It would allow for better truck storage, better wash bay, more ability to drive trucks in and out. The service in that district has grown somewhat, and we do have a need for an additional warm storage space as well as maintenance bays and mechanic bays. In addition to that, this would also allow for a small amount of remodeling within the actual district headquarters office building to provide for a training facility, a small training facility, as well as a couple of visitor touchdown spaces for staff within the area. That is requesting the amount of $7,500,000, and we are requesting a Trent Highway cash to fund that project. The second request is for the Plymouth Truck Station. This request is to build a new truck station at Odin Plymouth. The request is for $5.6 million. We have a Cambridge truck station request for $3.3 million, and again, that is to construct and furnish and equip a new facility in Cambridge. And then we're requesting three additional design fees for three additional projects. These would all be warm storage additions to the Crookston, Eden Prairie, and Mendota truck station. That total request is for $1.1 million for all three of those projects. The department would also request $30,000 for overweight motor vehicle registration collection. As it says in the bill, that is to modify our permit system to allow the department to collect additional registration taxes for overweight motor vehicles. And our final request from the Trunk Highway Fund is requesting actual bonds to complete a project in Rochester at the Rochester Maintenance Facility. This, as you'll probably recall, is a two-phase project, and this would be the final phase to complete the project. We received $26.43 million in 2010 for that project. That project is nearing completion, and now we are needing to finish it with the $16.1 million requested here. The facility will be brought up to ADA compliance. We are needing to relocate the folks who are currently doing materials testing. They are currently in a space that is adjacent to and sort of combined with office space, and because of the noise and the odors, it is not conducive to either of those operations functioning correctly. And they do a lot of work also contracting with the local entities to do all of their materials testing. And so they're needing a little bit bigger of a space, as well as a space that's separate from the office space. And so this would relocate that facility. It would also provide for more usable space throughout the current existing building.
Quorum is present. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hatch, I have a question on subsection six, overweight motor vehicle registration collection. What do you have to modify in your system in order to collect the extra registration taxes?
Mr. Chair, Senator. Mr. Chair, Senator, this is actually to assist us in combining two functions. Currently, if there's a vehicle that's overweight, they need to come to MnDOT to get a permit to be on the roadway and then also go to DPS and re-register their vehicle to higher weight. And then after they've completed their load, they need to go back to DPS and re-register their vehicle at the lower weight. And so what this would allow is for them to do one-stop shopping. They could still do the same method that they're accustomed to doing now, but this would streamline that process and allow them to make one stop at MnDOT and both register their vehicle temporarily for them to complete their load as well as get their overweight permit.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to have Senator McBride. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Hatch. In a meeting that I had with MnDOT, I thought we came up with a plan where there wouldn't be a fiscal note with this. As I recall, the conversation had to do with they could collect the fee, and then once a year they would just send a check over so that there wouldn't have to be a fiscal note. And quite frankly, I remember the conversation being that we might even actually bring in more dollars to the to MnDOT, because there were some people that apparently were just getting the overweight fee, but they weren't re-registering their vehicle, where now you're going to capture all of those extra fees. So I guess I don't understand why the extra money, when I thought there was a plan where you would probably actually bring in more money.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Senator Craig, I think this doesn't reflect the revenues that will come in from the registration surcharge that will be assessed to accomplish this. This just reflects the additional spending that will be necessary in order to manage the system in its new configuration. So there will be some extra work associated with managing the new process and to modify the system. Oh, I'm sorry. Scott Peterson, and I've got on the
Mr. Chair, does this take into account the savings you'll have on the other side of the ledger, where the department won't have to be doing this work at all anymore?
Mr. Chair, Senator DeGrive, no, this just points to the work that will go on at MnDOT, and it doesn't really reflect any revenue changes or workload changes that will occur at the Division of Vehicle Services at the DPS.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Peterson, don't you think there should be an offset here that should reflect the savings on one side, if you're going to have a little bit extra work on the one side and you're going to bring in extra money and you're going to have savings on the other side? My way of thinking, you're going to have some major savings on the other side because they won't have to do that function at all anymore. And I'm wondering where that might be reflected in our budgets.
Mr. Chairman, Senator DeGrive, that wouldn't necessarily be reflected in our budget. That would be reflected in the budget for DBS, I believe. So I don't know what the status of that is, or if there is a fiscal note that reflects that. This is simply an appropriation to the department from those fee revenues for the surcharge.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm wondering about removing this, because I'm not sure that, you know, to my way of thinking, there's going to be a cost savings and actually more money coming into the department. And I guess I'm not clear on why this can't be absorbed to take that extra $30,000.
Mr. Chairman, Senator DeCrave, it's my understanding that this is the amount of additional funds that they'll need to modify the system and administer the program in this new configuration. And again, this is from the fees. I don't know if it replaces all the fee revenue that's in the forecast at this point. But there will be some marginal additional cost for us to administer the program.
Mr. Peterson, this is just a one-time expense. Are you expecting that this will be an ongoing expense?
Mr. Chairman, it appears to be a one-time expenditure.
if you could help with where that additional revenue goes from the permitting process.
Mr. Chair and Senator Craig from the committee, the additional revenue from the surcharge will be going into the highway user tax distribution fund to offset the loss in registration tax to that very same fund. And the fiscal notice, I recall, estimated that it would probably offset it pretty much equally, and that this was just, and that would be a lost registration tax through DPS, yes, but it's affecting the same fund. So this $30,000 is just an additional one-time on top of that offset to pay for the permitting changes at MnDOT.
Senator Kerr. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Peterson, the $30,000 to modify, is that for software? Is it for hardware? Is it another FTE? What are we talking? Can you?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perry, we have a online permitting system called Route Builder that truckers can log into and get their permits electronically. And so there'll have to be some new functionality built into that program to allow truckers who are signing up for an overweight permit to opt to pay the surcharge as opposed to changing their registration. So that will be the functionality that will change to allow that.
Senator Burr. Thank you. I guess I've heard some talk. I've heard some talk about counties looking at trying to coordinate with the state for their permitting. I mean, are we throwing money at something that we're going to come back and have to throw more money at if counties want to jump into the? As I recall, at a couple of AGC meetings and trucking meetings that I've been at, I know that there's a plan where. I think you've been working with them so that the counties can tap into this system for permitting. I mean, are we going to be looking at throwing more money into this down the road if this happens, or?
Mr.
Peterson?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perry, I think the functionality that would have to be developed in order to accomplish that to be able to identify a permitted route on local road systems would be different than the functionality that this would require. This would just be something relatively straightforward that has some screens again that allows the calculation and this additional surcharge and ability to pay it all in one transaction.
Any other questions? If not, I would move Senate file 2571 to be recommended to pass and sent to the committee. Senator Bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm going to get your ideas.
Too late
to deal with it here, but maybe in finance, I just thought about a suggestion. Every year we've authorized the sale of their bonds for their capital program.
That has nothing to do with the state bonds or any obligations that we would have.
No, this is supported by the regional property. Let me just give them.
Something that would be appropriate for the MnDOT to discuss and give us advice. Good place for it.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, has it had a hearing anywhere yet? Because I think it usually does go to the tax committee, so there may be a deadline. She went to bill and it has to go to both.
Tax bill, that's subject to the deadline.
Mr. Chair, I thought that this bill was subject to their deadline, but maybe not, I don't know. But that would be the concern.
Well, I was just suggesting that we give this amendment to finance.
That would be on the front.
Right.
Senator Dibble, I'm both looking into it with you, and if this ends up being the appropriate place to do it, we'll move forward with it. Just so the committee knows that we will be discussing this, and have discussed with them, commit any additional questions on that possibility of that happening. Very good.
Just to be clear, this is a capital, you know, program, we think, Mr. Chair, it's gonna be used to, replace buses and, those kinds of routine buses and that kind of stuff.
Any other discussion? Renew my motion that Senate File 2571 be recommended to pass and sent to the Senate Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Members, next up on our list is about a 15-minute presentation by DPS, by Dave Lewis on the press, with about 15 minutes to talk about soft body armor, reimbursements for law enforcement officials, and with us is Mark Demansky, the Assistant Commissioner. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and I assure you I'll be significantly shorter than 15 minutes. It's probably gonna take about 5 minutes just to give you an overview. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members, for the ability to come here today and just give you a briefing on an item that is included in the governor's supplemental budget. Many of you probably heard the term bulletproof vest banned for the on TV or something. Most of the vests that you hear called bulletproof vests actually aren't bulletproof, but actually do offer significant protection to the wearer against small and medium firearm rounds. We often, and particularly in Minnesota statute, refer to these vests as soft body armor. A soft body armor is designed to stop the bullet from penetrating and causing harm to the wearer. They're actually made of panels, little small soft panels that are held together in a cloth type vest. The panels are constructed of many layers of incredibly strong fibers, typically Kevlar, which when hit act as a kind of a net that essentially catches the bullet, prevents it from penetrating any further into the body. Each layer of this fabric twists as a bullet passes through it and creates kind of a stronger barrier as it goes through, slowing the bullet until it comes to a complete stop. The process deforms the bullet, flattening into a dish shape, and the force of the impact is then spread across the entire large portion of the vest rather than the small point that the bullet would normally hit. Although the vest will stop the penetration of the bullet, the wearer still has to absorb the energy from the bullet itself. The impact may be enough to cause what is referred to as blunt force trauma at the point of impact. And in fact, you've probably seen that on television and movies as well, where somebody is shot with a firearm and actually are knocked off of their feet and down, and sometimes go unconscious. They may leave a large mark on their chest or the area that they're shot. And while a blunt force trauma may undoubtedly be very painful, it's typically not very life-threatening. Normally, in the house, I pastor on a vest for people to see. Most of you have seen them. They look almost like a ski vest or something. They're not rigid, typically. They're very flexible, but they are very helpful. In fact, the vest that I passed around in the house was a vest that had expired in 1990, was worn by a state trooper, that in 1983 was out at the scene of a crash, was struck by a motor vehicle, launched over that motor vehicle, landed on the hood and the windshield of a subsequent motor vehicle at highway speeds. The individual suffered significant trauma to the lower portion of his body, including his legs, in which he has pins in now, and some head trauma. But the company that he didn't have a lot of trauma to his internal organs. He actually survived. And the vest that we used for passing around was a replacement vest from the company, because they had deemed that he had been saved by the vest, and that particular company gives a replacement vest to the individual that they feel was saved by it. So even in this situation, where it wasn't a bullet, but it really was a traffic crash that the individual was involved in, we believe that it saved his life, and undoubtedly has saved many other law enforcement officer lives in Minnesota. Because of the safety effectiveness of the soft body armor, today many law enforcement officers in Minnesota do indeed wear them, and they are mandated wear equipment by many law enforcement organizations. The soft body armor or vest reimbursement program was established in Minnesota Statute 299A.38 in 1989. It served to offset law enforcement officers and law enforcement organizations for a portion of the purchase of soft body armor vests. The Commissioner of Public Safety was designated as a point of application for these reimbursements and given the fiduciary responsibility for the established reimbursement fund. In 2005, the legislature established that $508,000 be allocated annually to this reimbursement fund. That amount has remained constant each fiscal year. Since its inception, statutory language has limited the amount of reimbursement per individual. In the 2005 language change, the allotment reimbursement was amended to the lesser of $600 or 50% of the actual price of the vest. Additionally, the 2005 change added language instructing the Commissioner of Public Safety to adjust the $600 threshold to the annual price change of the Consumer Price Index. Based on that escalator, the maximum reimbursement amount has climbed from $600 in 2005 to $696 in 2011. And while the inflation escalator was added to the maximum amount of reimbursement for the individuals in 2005, there have been no increases in the dedicated fund. For comparison, if similar consumer price index information was used, the escalator itself in the dedicated fund would have grown incrementally over the years from $508,000 in 2005 to approximately $663,500 in 2011. In recent years, the fund has been completely expended prior to the end of the fiscal year. Qualified reimbursements have been delayed until the fund was reallocated in subsequent fiscal years, only to be expended once again prior to the completion of that year. This fiscal year, the fund was depleted after only 4 months. The fund started July 1. By the middle of October, the fund was completely empty because we were carrying over vests from previous years. As of March 2020-2012, just last week, the Department of Public Safety is holding 777 backlog soft-bound armor reimbursement requests. With the anticipated request for the remainder of the fiscal year, it's estimated that a one-time appropriation of $515,000 is needed to bring the account to the balance, to bring the account to a balance for the beginning of the next fiscal year, and that $515,000 is included in the governor's supplemental request. I would answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Senator Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm just curious. Can't any of that 911 money be used for something like this? That was taken from the phones that we use for the 800 megahertz system? Does anybody know? And I'm sitting here going, there were counties that turned down using that money, and I'm thinking, you know, how much is still sitting in that account that hasn't been used, that won't get used, that we should be looking at the... You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay.
But I mean, there was quite a bit of money there.
Senator Perry is to try to keep it on my plate.
Yes, I do.
Try to keep it moving off.
So we do, Mr. Chair, we're doing reimbursement from what source again? We reimburse from what source?
Mr. Janowski?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, Senator,
what's the source of the reimbursement? Is direct reimbursement?
There's an actual, Senator, there's an actual fund that was established at the amount of $508,000 in annual appropriation to that fund.
Appropriation from the general fund?
From the general fund, Senator.
Senator Burke? And, you know, another thing that I'm not so sure we wouldn't think about is I recall that there were a couple of senators working on a ICE program at one time where they talked about maybe an extra dollar on the traffic tickets used to do this ICE training. Program, and as I remember some of those numbers, they were up there in that $300,000-$400,000 range on an annual basis. Is that not correct, Mr. Chair?
Well, Senator Perry, I think you're fairly accurate on that. And now you're going to send me on scouting trip.
Well, I'm just saying that there's, you know, I see the need because I remember wearing the great big thick ones years ago when they first came out, but, and I see this need, and I'm just looking for.
you know, if it's used to protect our officers against those that violate the law, then maybe we should find a way to make those that violate the law to pay for it.
Very much, thank you. Look into it.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
So as long as we're being creative, Chair, I also wonder if not using some sort of tax credit mechanism might be a vehicle. That's still general fund dollars, we would have to offer them or at least do a revenue estimate. Might be something that would be more sustainable over time.
All good ideas, but
necessarily cap. I don't know if we want to cap it out or not.
Run it out. Since we're throwing out ideas, we're whispering to my ears, is Oak Highway bonds. Ms. Boyd, would that be an allowable expense?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ms. Brandowski, and I were just referring about that. As long as there's no prohibition on us that we know of, as long as it was for state patrol use and as many of the law enforcement agencies.
Can I ask you, is this just for state patrol use that this account is used for, or are we, are there sheriffs and police officers around the state able to access it?
Mr. Chair, this is for all licensed peace officers in the state of Minnesota.
Well, thank you for the information, being part of the hearing today, and we'll look into further things that we could possibly find us. In the voting, we need to take care of our troopers. That's something that we can do.
I'm not going there.
If we have some ideas boiling around in for some possible amendments to something. All right. I just want to make the committee aware that we are hoping to have at least one or two more informational hearings. I would like to do one on the wetlands credit banking and how that affects transportation. I think there needs to be some urgency and some additional information for the committee and for all of us as legislators concerned about transportation as to what the repercussions could possibly be 4 or 5 years out if we don't have enough wetland credits to mitigate some of the wetlands that we will be taking out in the process of rebuilding and building new roads in Minnesota. So something we need to discuss. I hope that when you see that committee hearing coming forward, wetlands credit banking and that whole system is quite complex, but we are planning a very thorough briefing on the part of Bowser and others about this topic. Encourage you to be here, and we'll all get a better understanding of what is all involved and what the critical need is out into the future. So look for that. Other than that, we may have another committee hearing or two, but just for now, keep your ears open. Being the other business before the committee, we are adjourned.